When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat. And boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in. Game Time Decisions is live on Sports Grid. Kevin Walsh with you here for an hour to set it up and knock it down as we get set for another week in the National Football League. And my, oh my, do we start with a banger on Thursday night. It is the Cincinnati Bengals making the trip to Baltimore to play the Ravens. 5.5 spread here, 6 in some spots. Big time total, no doubt. It is 52.5. These offenses have been cooking. We will take a stop over on the NBA board, which gives us 3 games tonight. One ranked college team in action as Florida and Walter Clayton Jr. will look to go to battle. Of course, Walter Clayton Jr., an Iona alum. The maroon here looks nice. We're feeling good. We're feeling right. Let's get into some football, though. This is a monster game between Cincinnati and Baltimore because this Bengals team got off to a nightmare start. An unacceptable, unforgivable loss to the New England Patriots was followed by a loss to the Commanders that seemed just as bad. Hindsight, the Commanders kind of rock. Okay, it's not nightmarish, but 0-2, both games at home, you can't have it. Cincinnati could not get out of their way to open this season in their own building. Their first home victory was last week against Vegas. One of those home losses is to Baltimore. The Ravens went into that building and won in overtime in a shootout, 41-38. It should have never happened. Cincinnati has multiple losses this year that should have not happened, specifically to both Baltimore and Kansas City. And those losses are the difference between Cincinnati being viewed as a legitimate conference contender and a team that is going to have to scratch and claw their way into probably the 7th seed in the AFC playoffs. Or they pull off the upset tonight. If you take a look at the divisional odds within the North, the Ravens are considerable favorites at minus 220. A big gap between them and Cincinnati, with Pittsburgh tucked in the middle, sitting at a plus 250 price. But if the Bengals pull off the upset, the whole conversation shifts. Cincinnati then would be just one game back of the Ravens. And I believe their schedule is easier the rest of the way compared to Baltimore. Now, I don't want to look past Pittsburgh. They are live to win this division, whether the Bengals win tonight or not. They're 6-2. They've provided themselves a level of cushion to get into the race, but their schedule is also miserable. Pittsburgh hasn't played any of their division games yet. We know how tough the AFC North is. Now, maybe the toughness and evenness that those teams can sometimes play with will allow Pittsburgh to go 3-3, and it'll be kind of fine and all good. or this team is going to struggle, who this week plays Washington positioned as a three-point underdog. Again, an upset here for Cincinnati would go a long way. But for the Bengals, it is not division or bust. They are hoping that at minimum, they can crack in as one of the wild card teams. And if you look at Cincinnati's odds outlook, it is absolutely on the board, despite their underwhelming record. Some of that is, again, to do with the schedule for Cincinnati and this minus 114 make the playoff price. Some of that is just to do with the rest of this conference. There are six teams that look like they are absolutely in, Baltimore included. Toss in the Buffalo Bills, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Houston Texans, the Chiefs, and maybe even the Chargers, and you already have six spots solidified. Though when you look around the AFC, adding in Cincinnati, how many other contenders are there? Colts, Broncos, long shot Jets prayers, not as many. So again, for Cincinnati, a loss tonight is not going to derail their season. But man, they've been on the wrong side of some upsets this year. It could be time for them to pull off one of their own. For the Ravens' outlook, it is all about getting back to that AFC championship game and redeeming themselves. A team who last year was dominant. Maybe the best defense in football, one of the best ground games, and the league's MVP showed up in the championship game and forgot their identity. It will baffle me for my entire life what in the world went into their game plan against the Chiefs, and it allowed KC to get back to the Super Bowl and win a second in a row. I am sure the Ravens will be looking to play that team again if the opportunity does come. And you see their big favorite to make to win this division, but to make the playoffs, every expectation is the Ravens will be there. Though the Ravens have not played perfect football this season, they lost to Kansas City. They've also had two losses that really shouldn't happen for a top team. The Raiders loss and the one at Cleveland against Jameis. Again, I know these things happen, but it's not been a spotless season so far for Baltimore. Despite that, Lamar Jackson has been aces, averaging well over 9 yards per attempt. He has been significantly better than he was during last year's MVP season, partly because he was not an MVP last year and won it due to his record and defense and opportunistic chance of beating Brock Purdy when he did in that primetime Christmas game. Yet you see the odds for Lamar are tonight to be wildly efficient. Around 238.5 passing yards, despite only having an attempts prop of 28 and a hook, though Burrow is the far more tempting option. Over 1.5 passing touchdowns at minus 165 is a bet that 5 of the last 7 opposing quarterbacks have seen cash against the Ravens, though minus 168 is a little pricey. Maybe you take 3+, or you just go to the superstar himself, Ja'Marr Chase, who has to get it going tonight. Ja'Marr Chase, 2 weeks in a row, has been receiving the ball at a great level. The yardage, though, has not matched up. With T. Higgins' absence, this team is going to need Ja'Marr Chase to be a lot more effective for them in the receiving game. Perhaps Cincinnati, though, can have their rush attack shine as well. The Zach Moss injury is not much of an issue, with Chase Brown looking more explosive and Khalil Herbert coming over at the trade deadline. Though, if you're Cincinnati, I don't think you're looking to have the better rush attack in this game. Derrick Henry right now, the favorite to an offensive player of the year. Though I think he's a little bit stronger of a favorite than he should be for me. I would think Saquon deserves that vote right now. We'll see how ultimately that race plays out. Getting to the pass catchers, though, with Ja'Marr Chase, who we know is the number one option. I love him over the longest reception prop tonight, 24.5. Chase is not the only receiver, though, who is having lofty expectations. Zay Flowers with a 61.5 number is one I am sure many are lining up. Zay Flowers is getting over this number consistently. He has been a star in this offense for the Baltimore Ravens. He just has. And with Isaiah likely out and maybe Deontay Johnson still finding his legs with Baltimore coming over from the Carolina Panthers, it could be another nice night for Zay Flowers. Anytime touchdown scores, Derrick Henry, rightfully so, a bracket of his own. Minus 250, he has scored in all but one game so far for the Ravens. Minus price on Ja'Marr Chase and Chase Brown. I know tonight, though, people are looking for some shots here. I've heard in the office tonight, Jermaine Burton tossed out, Khalil Herbert tossed out, Deontay Johnson 4-1. Could he find the end zone in the debut? I am on some Deontay Johnson props, not touchdowns, but we will get there in a bit. I do want to quickly get your MVP odds on the board. Tonight's going to go a long way. Lamar Jackson is neck and neck right here with, of course, Josh Allen so far this season. And the interesting spot with Lamar and Josh Allen is the fact that that race, again, has so much to do with record. It's how Lamar Jackson won the award last year. It's why Josh Allen is in a great spot. It's why Lamar isn't the favorite right now. But we got to take a look then at Pat Mahomes, who is still unbeaten and statistically is wildly behind both Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. But it may not matter if he just keeps winning football games. We'll take a break, go through the full card here on a Thursday night with you. It's Game Time Decisions on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're live with you on Sports Grid, Game Time Decisions, setting up tonight's Thursday nighter. Again, it is a monster one. It is a perception changer if you are Cincinnati. You're an upset away from not only being viewed as, okay, this team's making the playoffs. How dangerous are they in the big picture of the conference? The division is back in play with a win. I really believe that. I think it is completely out of reach with a loss, though, if you are the Cincinnati Bengals. I was tempted to play their spread, 6.5, but I am ending up in the same exact spot that I ended up in with Cincinnati when they made the trip to Kansas City in week number 2 and taking a team total. It's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm playing it at over 22.5 at minus 122. You could get 23.5 that at round even money. That is all good as well. I took the 22.5 in other spots. It was as high as minus 136. So I was happy with the juice that I was getting on that number. And that is a number of 23 or more. We've seen the Ravens allow this season into 7 of 9 opponents. We saw them capable of holding, the Bills to 10 in a great spot. And then last week against Denver. But that also now means you're asking the Ravens defense to do something they've not done this season, and that's have great defensive efforts consecutively. The last time that they gave up 10, or the last time they played a game after giving up 10, was Buffalo to Cincinnati, where they allowed 38. And the Bengals came out absolutely roaring in that game. They had 17 points in the first half. They had 24 midway through the third quarter, which is what I will be looking for here tonight. I know T. Higgins is absent, but I think Burrow is starting to get into the rhythm once again. No more evidence than what he did against Vegas. You can tell me it's Vegas all you want. 5 passing touchdowns is 5 passing touchdowns. Joe Burrow, quite honestly, if record was not, again, arguably the most important piece of winning league's MVP, would have top 5 odds to win NFL MVP. He'd probably have top 3 odds, quite frankly. I'm not sure there are not 3 quarterbacks who have been better than Burrow this season. But here he is at 4-5, and I'm trusting him to get through a team total. I'm trusting his number one wide receiver in Ja'Marr Chase over 24.5 yards for his longest reception. It is, to me, undeniably the best way to bet Chase tonight. That is not to say he can't get through the touchdowns or he can't get you over his yards or over the receptions. But I went through the Ja'Marr Chase catalog this season. He has not cleared 60 yards in a game this season without a catch of 28+. Now, he dominated Baltimore last go-around and had 193 receiving yards. He also had a catch of 70 yards. They will look to attack tonight deep with Ja'Marr Chase, and rightfully so, because the number one wide receiver has a catch of 25 or more yards against this Ravens defense in 8 of 9 games. 8 of 9. Last week, Cortland Sutton with a 30-yard reception. I'm counting Mike Evans as the number one receiver. I do that always when I factor in Tampa Bay. Jerry Jeudy and Cedric Tillman did it. Only Terry McLaurin did not get through it, and he just had to settle for a 2-touchdown performance, which is, again, why if you're playing Chase through all kinds of numbers, I get it, but I don't think there's a better option than longest reception. on the other side of this field, give me Diontae Johnson. Had a conversation earlier today with Donnie Wrightside, who's going to join us on the desk in about 10 minutes' time, about what Diontae could do. And I thought, let me dive in a little more and try and figure out if this 17.5 number is too low. And dang it, it is way too low. The Johnson alt players will be out in droves tonight, and I do not mind you. I went and looked at the snap counts last week from the Ravens pass catchers. Zay Flowers and Rashad Bateman certainly check in as the top two. But clearly, Johnson was knocking on the door at playing 30% of their offensive snaps. Aguilar, Tylan Wallace, he'll get right past those guys and be a factor tonight with Isaiah Likely out for this football game and Lamar needing some more targets. And then when you dive into the Cincinnati Bengals defensively, I feel that number two wide receivers have been able to get home. Number two options have been able to get home. And eventually, Diontae Johnson is supposed to settle in as the number two option here for this Ravens pass attack. Zay Flowers is secured as the number one, but I think it's going to be Diontae Johnson secure as the number two. I'm on him over 17.5 yards, and I'm going to play some specials as well. We'll start on the low end. That's going to be Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson to each record 40-plus passing yards in each quarter at 13-1. Yes, that's the low end. But I think that is worth a chance here because, to me, you have a matchup where I'm expecting it to be close. The first go-around, 348 passing Lamar, 392 passing Burrow. If we get a repeat of that, we should be right in the mix for 13-1. I took a chance on Diontae Johnson individually to record 25-plus yards in each half. 20-1. It's a great number. I mean, that's an absolute fantastic number there for Diontae Johnson. I know his number, again, is 17.5. That special is 6-1 on another book. The idea for me betting Johnson at 17.5 is that he should be able to get way through this, but it's a nice security blanket if he doesn't. But if Johnson has 25 in the first half, then I'm going to feel great about him getting 25 again, unless this is a Ravens blowout. And maybe it will be. We've seen that happen all the time. But I'm projecting a much closer game. In fact, I really believe Cincinnati can win here in this matchup. So I don't mind taking some of those type of options here with pass catchers for Baltimore. And then last, big swing, 85-1. It is trickling down from 90. Jamar Chase and Diontae Johnson to each record 5-plus receiving yards in each quarter. Again, these are long shots. These are swinging from the heels, but 85-1, 20-1, and 13-1. I figure why not get in the mix here with a total at 52.5. I'm on the dogs team total. The expectations are we are going to have ourselves an amazing game here tonight with a lot on the line in the AFC North. We are going to be pushing up against a commercial here, though. We are going to talk a little about your NBA slate tonight. I know people are going to be looking to get involved in some capacity. Your parlay players, all the odds boosts are out there. But we also have to talk about the Philadelphia 76ers. The Philadelphia 76ers went out there, made the move of the offseason by bringing in Paul George, and are barreling towards missing the playoffs with more injury news. We'll break it down with you next here on Game Time Decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, live with you right here on this Thursday night. Outside of the NFL, you can get involved in a number of spots. We got a loaded NHL card that is out there in the mix. We have college basketball-wise, just one game. If I may quickly, though, college basketball kind of does this weird thing where they slow play the debut. Opening night, we only had one ranked game. Ohio State and Texas, UCF and Texas A&M were solid games where the unranked teams lost, right? But we don't have kind of these, again, monster games right away. But we're getting some big ones over the next few days. Tomorrow, Kansas, North Carolina, okay? On Saturday, you get Arkansas, Baylor. And I know it's 4 versus 11 in the AP poll. 1 versus 2 in KenPom. Houston, Auburn. That checks in on Saturday. And then when you flip it over, by the time you get to Tuesday, that Champions Classic, Kansas, Michigan State, and then Duke and Kentucky, which I absolutely cannot wait for. Tonight's game, it's Florida in action. They're going to play Jacksonville, Florida, a 24.5 point favorite. Their opener against South Florida was a tidy little win and cover. They laid 10 and a hook. They actually trailed at the break. Man, that team can score the basketball, though. Nearly put up a 60-piece in the second half of that game against South Florida to get the job done. We'll wait and see with the Gators, man. Again, that up-and-down nature is fantastic, but it's a lot where you need to score 100 to cover a number. We'll see what they can do here against Jacksonville. For the NBA tonight, the Bucks are in a fascinating spot. A 1-6 Milwaukee team is an 8.5-point favorite against the Utah Jazz. And for Milwaukee, I don't think this is a team that many in the league are excited to back. I know I've had a few spots where I thought Milwaukee was the side. You are seeing this number climb up, though. So perhaps I don't know if it's the sharp money, whatever it may be, but this number's up now to 10 on the Milwaukee Bucks. The thing is we've seen good Bucks spots before, and it's not mattered. Don't forget, Milwaukee won their opening game of the season, so they've lost 6 in a row. Maybe the number getting up to 10 is the fact that Giannis, who missed this last game against Cleveland, won this next game here. Maybe people are saying, oh, let's hold on a second. The Bucks' last two performances were two losses by a total of 3 points to an unbeaten Cavs team. We'll wait and see. I would only look Bucks team total, because the Bucks at their best are scoring with their hair on fire. Though the Bucks and the Jazz playing tonight is the perfect little segue, because they are two of 3 1-win teams in the NBA. And for the Jazz, they're supposed to be bad. In fact, this is an awesome start to their season. They want nothing more than Cooper Flagg in their building. For Milwaukee, 1-6 is a nightmare, no doubt, but at least you're healthy. For the Philadelphia 76ers, I have no idea what you do. All sports books, at least that I can find, have pulled off Sixers make miss playoff odds. And again, it's hard to blame them. Philly is not just 1-6. Philly is watching their season fall apart right before their eyes. You start the year without Joel Embiid. And again, the reasons for it are a little unclear, right? Like, Joel Embiid has been investigated for missing games and suspended already, and this season is 7 games old for the 76ers. He will get back out there against the Knicks next Tuesday. Will they play the next night against Cleveland? And Embiid has told us he's done playing back-to-backs in his career. Okay, so you get Embiid for a night, and then he's immediately out the next game. Paul George got injured in preseason, which is tough. But also, Paul George getting injured is a common thing. Ask anyone who wasted money on a Clippers futures ticket. There's a billion of you. I did it 1 year myself. We've all done it, right? It's just I learned my lesson quicker than everybody else, I feel. But nevertheless, PG getting injured is common. The one mainstay for the 76ers was supposed to be Tyrese Maxey. This is what this team was hoping they could hang their hat on, being there every single night. And Tyrese Maxey comes out of the gate playing the most minutes in the NBA, and what do you know? He's out now for a few weeks with a hamstring injury. I think it'd be a minor miracle at this point if the Philadelphia 76ers make the playoffs. That is unimaginable to find yourself in this situation here if you are Philadelphia. You are going to get how many games this season out of your big three? And will it even matter? Again, if you're going to miss the playoffs, you might as well shut Embiid down and give him a year off. Is this core ever even going to make it onto the court this year? It is a stunning thing to watch play out for a team that had top 5 title odds to immediately see their season fall apart this quickly. No end in sight, though, if you take a look at the 76ers with the news that Maxey is going to be out for a while. Maybe bring this up to Don. We've got a lot to get to, though. It's on the other side of this break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, we got a good little half hour for you right here on Sports Grid. It's a Thursday night. Kevin Walsh, I got Donnie Rightside, stops by DRS. We got a lot here. How are we feeling?
I feel really good tonight. Now, when I say that, this could be one of the greatest nights you've ever witnessed here on the Sports Grid Network, or you might tune in and be like, these three guys don't seem happy. It's only the first, you know, quarter and a half of this football game. Like, I got vibes that are so immaculate tonight, I can't have them dashed.
It's interesting. This is the most I've seen you worry about how excited you are for a football game here. Is that just because of how last season same spot played out?
It's not, because when you ask, like, what can you have for fireworks? Number one, we have the highest total for a Thursday night football game, which is one thing. But when you look at the quarterbacks, studs on both sides, some of the best in the business, wide receivers that can absolutely get busy, tight ends that should be wide open, running backs that can hit the home runs and go the distance, and susceptible defenses on the back end. Yeah. And oh yeah, it's Baltimore today at 62 degrees at kickoff, light winds and no rain. Like, this is the game you're supposed to circle the wagons and say everything is supposed to work.
Yeah, I am expecting points myself. I took a Cincinnati team total, Donnie, because the more I wish that's what I did the first go around. The first go around for this game, I ended up betting Cincinnati, I think, plus 2.5.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't pay for the three. It is what it is, right kind of situation, but they scored 38 in the game.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of the, you know, then everything else was kind of into props here. On the side or total, have you found yourself leaning a certain way?
It's the total is right at 52.5, but we've watched games before where teams can move it up and down the field, and if you're kicking field goals when it needs 53-plus points, it doesn't work out in your favor. But for me, again, I'm similar to what I was on Monday night, which won the game outright but lost on the spread. I thought Kansas City was a decent shot there, even though it was double digits. I'm the same tonight. 6.5s, 6s, 5.5s, depending on where you're shopping at tonight. For me, if I do think the Baltimore Ravens are winning tonight, I'm going to say they win by a touchdown at home.
Yeah, I lean towards Cincinnati here, Donnie. I'm curious if they can pull off the upset. I know that you were saying when you look at the upcoming schedule for them,
yes,
it's kind of just survive in advance with the way the rest of the AFC is, and that'll be enough. But, man, a win tonight, I think it becomes a lot more than survive in advance. I think all of a sudden they can start to legitimately throw their hat in conversations that they cannot right now. In the props market, though, what have you found yourself really, really being pushed towards?
So, like, if you said, Donnie, one player that you have circled the wagons on, will you expect a dominant performance? Honestly, it's Lamar Jackson today.
Yeah.
Over 1.5 touchdown passes. I do have a couple parlays in, which I posted on my Twitter account, and I'm going to add some more throughout the night.
Yeah.
But I do think that is, if you said one play, it would be over 1.5 touchdown passes. I told you that on Monday Night Football for Patrick Mahomes. I didn't bet it, right? Great. It says 3 touchdown passes, so I was upset with that. So I made sure tonight in a couple parlays to include Lamar at 1.5. If we're looking from the running game, Derrick Henry is so expensive tonight for a touchdown, Kevin, but I find myself putting him in parlays anyway because I, no doubt about it, think he's going to score tonight.
Yeah.
If we flip it over to the Bengals, what's not to like? If I think their defense is bad, which means you should be A-okay on their offense,
mm-hmm.
Joe Burrow doesn't care what your defense is. He's slinging it all over the place. As long as you have a healthy Jamar Chase out there, which you do, and Mike Gesicki coming into his own, and Chase Brown, by the way, very underrated running back that you're going to get to see, America, tonight do some damage in the backfield. But for me, it's Lamar Jackson centered tonight for me.
Yeah, the Chase Brown thing's really, I mean, he's just better than Zach Moss,
yes.
I think.
Yeah.
But the Khalil Herbert trade is fascinating. Yeah. Not like it should still be Chase heavy, but where does Herbert factor in, right?
Oh,
I think that gets a little fascinating here. I know he has some big numbers to find touchdowns. I was telling people, Donnie, I found myself really interested in Deontay Johnson. I think he's the second most talented wide receiver on this team. And I think that eventually he will emerge as that guy. And at 17.5,
yes.
If this number was 34.5, I don't think I would have been surprised.
Yeah.
But at 17.5, I had to play it.
No, we like to call principal plays here. And it's one of those where we talked about on the radio show today, Kevin. Are you going to outsmart yourself? But we're not taking a young rookie wide receiver that's just coming back from an injury in the preseason and he didn't play. This is a veteran guy that has a big contract, has some big numbers in the NFL. And we're not asking him 65.5, 60, 45.5, 25.5. It's basically 20 yards you're going to get that. I love Deontay Johnson tonight. It's one where I think they're going to force him to get in, which means 2 to 3 catches. He's got that. He goes right through it. Maybe one catch. Kevin.
It's really interesting. His number tonight for receptions is 1.5. Heavily, heavily juiced, though, towards the over here for Deontay Johnson. And I mean, man, that would be some tightrope to imagine he walks here where he catches 2 footballs on a guy who, you know, never in his career has averaged under 10 yards per reception and does not then get over those 17.5 yards. Now, obviously, the counter is he wasn't even targeted last week. But that's why I went to the snap counts there. We saw he played a good bit for them, and I think that number only increases here, despite it being a short week.
You have to have familiarity. They just don't have that yet. It's played in a game last week, more practice this week, and it's always up to the quarterback. We got you on this football team because we think you can help us in the long run in the playoffs. I would be foolish to not include you until the playoffs. Tonight's one of those nights where he's going to get specific play calls just for him. And also, it's interesting. Like, what would you rather take? The 1.5 or the 17 and a half yards. For me, it's a 17 and a half.
Fully.
That's one shot downfield, 22 yards, done for the night.
Yeah, him having two catches for 7 yards is just not what I would be. And here's the thing. I also, even if he has two catches for 7 yards, well, he could have another. There's more room for catches,
correct.
Right? And it's the cheaper option here. One of the reasons why I'm interested in Deontay, you're over Lamar, is how well he is playing. Big picture, Donnie, right? Lamar Jackson has won two MVPs already.
Yeah.
I think there is an argument that this is the best season so far of his career. I think it is 10 times better than he was last year.
Yes.
Again, a lot of that is because he should have not won the award last season. It is what it is. We've had these conversations in a few leagues, the NBA, where we're like, are they not going to give it to Jokic again? And then they go, ah, he's MVP, isn't he? And they just give it to Jokic. Do we need to stop thinking like that? Because right now, Lamar, everything suggests they will gladly give him league's MVP again if he keeps playing like this.
Yes, and by the way, this is the best version of the Baltimore Ravens offense that we've ever seen.
Yeah.
You're talking about legitimate wide receivers, legitimate tight ends, a good offensive line, the best overall running back that he's had at one time. And he's been fantastic with his play. As long as he stays healthy, the sky's the limit. Like, we're no longer surprised. Like, oh, Lamar can't. What do you mean Lamar can't throw? Look at the touchdown passes. Look at the yards. Look at the efficiency. Imagine if Lamar did throw it 45 times, what his numbers would
be. He leads the NFL in passer rate.
Yes, the guy is clocking. What 24 25 passes a game and doing damage with that? I love it.
He leads the NFL in passer rating
and QBR, number one overall.
Wait, but Donald, QBR, I think, factors like rushing.
It does every decision.
Passer rating is just about throwing the ball.
Lamar can't pass.
That stuff is all done. The Lamar questions are postseason based now,
correct?
Which are relevant until he breaks through, right? That's just kind of the reality of it there for the Baltimore Ravens. But again, he's been playing. But Donnie, again, like we talk passer rating and QBR. Joe Burrow is top 4 in both of those numbers.
Yes.
Like, Burrow has been spectacular. It's that Cincinnati has really been incapable of playing a great game on both sides of the ball in a single game this season. They will need to be great tonight in order to pull off this upset.
If I'm looking at Cincinnati, and I know we went through it because we talk it through sometimes, like wasn't high on Cincinnati coming in this season, didn't like the way that locker room played out. I'm not high on them right now, but sometimes you have to adjust what your value meter would be as they sit now. If they win tonight, it's like, they're automatically in the playoffs. Like, wait a second, they've had such a bad season. That's how off, kilter that AFC is. But also tonight, if I'm looking to bet long-term on the Cincinnati Bengals, I'm not betting them tonight. I'm betting them after they lose tonight.
Yeah, that again, if you, as long as you're in on them losing. What I would say to the other side of that, Donnie, is if you are interested in this team big picture and think they could win, I'd go to the 10-1 division number instead of 19-1 conference. If they win tonight, I think the divisional price is cut in half. I think you're looking at plus 500 or less if they win this game tonight.
Because for me, like, I would have to think lower, like the playoff mode. Or AFC championship mode is where I would go for that. Because if you're saying to yourself, Joe Burrow, you can't look at what the team is now. It's the same way with the Dallas Cowboys. It's a shame. That's a completely different thing now where Dak Prescott's going to be out multiple weeks. But you can see, like, they would be getting their players back and you'd be buying at the ultimate low spot where you think that trajectory would be. Because when T. Higgins comes back and is healthy with Lamar Chase, I don't care where Cincinnati is, they are in every single football game in every single environment.
Yeah, they are. We've seen them do it many a times. Yeah. They are a scary team, right? And if they're going to be the seventh seed, that's exactly how they're going to line up. We're going to talk some of the other main NFL headlines here with you at Sports Grid on a Thursday night.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're back to right here on Sports Grid. It is game time decisions, and man, there's a lot of big picture stuff up in the NFL, Donnie, that I wanted to talk to you about. One thing that we never really got the chance to discuss was the Colts and their game against the Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of said when I was talking with Lisa, I go, for me, this isn't actually some like victory lap subject, because my issue with them going to Flacco was not, oh, come on, Flacco's going to be a massive downgrade. What are you doing? It's about the long-term prospects of Richardson, him being so young in his career, and their investment. So remove that aside. Flacco being that bad, even to me, was stunning. But it's a terrible look. That is the worst their offense has looked all season long. What do you take away from that game, and what do you think the Colts do now moving forward?
No, I didn't take away much from it, because I think Minnesota has a very good defense, can be frustrating. Yes, the Colts were in the game, but their offense didn't look good, so I will agree. But also, there's two ways that the Colts are now playing this out. They think they have a better chance at making the playoffs with Joe Flacco now. Anthony Richardson, a young kid. If he's still their long-term plans, what's the harm of, hey, you know what? The game is a little bit too fast for you right now. Sit on the sideline and learn. Stay in the meetings here. Be ready. You might be going into the football game. And next year, we can always try again. Because I'm going to guarantee you this right now. Playoffs or no playoffs, Joe Flacco won't be the Colts quarterback next year.
Yeah.
It's either going to be Anthony Richardson, or they completely break away, move on, trade him, and you know, maybe use a couple draft picks to move up to get one of these young kids in college. That's the way I look at it. So it's hard to say exactly, but I do like the fact that they made the move to Joe Flacco and in the third quarter didn't bring the young kid in. I said, Flacco didn't work out. Let's throw the young kid back in there. They clearly have a game plan where they think they're better with Flacco and can make the playoffs. Because hear me out on this. If the season goes off the rails, Anthony Richardson's going to be your quarterback the final 3 to 4 games of the season because you have to get a look at him. Mm-hmm. I just think that if they think he still has a future, it's not a bad move right now. But also, if they think he's not part of their future, it's not a bad move right now.
Yeah, I think, Donnie, though, you are now, to me, running a risk of this getting like way worse than it possibly needs to be, because you were 4-4 with Richardson, right?
Yeah.
So now you lost to Minnesota. I would be stunned. I mean, I know we'll break that game down when it's Sunday, but how do you feel about their prospects early against Buffalo? Probably not great.
No, those not are great. It's a tough run on that, but I do think the offense will perform better than against Minnesota's defense, which, yeah, quite frankly, they have to. I think that game will be close. You see the 3.5, which is giving the Colts still a little bit of respect on that, obviously.
Yeah.
But for my money, I still think you owe it to the team in the locker room if you made that decision to show as a head coach that you're not making snap decisions.
So, again, this is where I do keep trying to throw the question out there. What if the guy, above all of them, who we know makes snap decisions, is the one making snap decisions, well, in Jim Irsay?
Yeah, we've seen that as owners. Like, we don't know that for true. But also, Ryan Grigson, who I believe is their general manager, has his job because he listens to the owner, makes those moves, and then covers for him, and the owner loves that. That's why it's here. I don't know if that came from all the way up top. I'm still going to stick with the ground game that I used was he's just not ready. He's not really good at chalk talk right now on the board. He's not seeing the offense the way it's supposed to be run. And they had to sit him down for a guy who can run the offense. Good or bad, that's the change they made. Now, again, if they continue to sputter, not look good, the young kid's going back in, because if it is the owner, he's saying the same thing you are. Oh, I'm like, get him out of here. Flacco out of here. Put my young quarterback in there, right?
I mean, Chris Ballard is the GM.
Chris Ballard.
Yeah.
Who was Grigson there before? Where did I get Grigson?
He's with Minnesota now. I don't know. Yeah. I looked it up quickly with Grigson. But again, I just, listen, to me, Donnie, like, Flacco losing that game, no problem, right? They were a 5.5-point dog, right? No offensive touchdowns in a Shane Steichen offense.
Yeah.
A lower QBR in that game than Richardson's worst game this year, which seems impossible considering the games Richardson has played. Like, I just wonder how much this whole thing could shift. Let me just make this simple move here.
Yeah.
Bryce Young. I saw from people who are consistently breaking down film say that was easily the best game of his career as a pro. Yeah. This could work. Do you think that now there's a chance for Carolina to say, you know what, let's get Bryce a third year? Can he salvage this? And then if you're the Colts, the long-term view, because that would be some underdog story, I guess, Donnie, if Bryce Young salvages his time in Carolina.
Yeah, and we're also talking about a guy who was number one overall pick, was a Heisman Trophy winner. Like, we're salvaging like a 7th-round pick that had like 3 good games, and he's coming back in.
Yeah.
The pedigree absolutely is there for him to be good. He was just landing in a spot with an organization that didn't help him. Like, let's drop Bryce Young into Chicago and say, you got these 3 wideouts, this running game, let's have some fun and get after it. He's got some of the worst tool belt boxes in the league you have right now. So I can't even effectively do it. But if he's winning football games and being competitive with that talent, surround him with something, man. Like, every week you're cutting his, like, oh, Chuba Hubbard, long-term deal. Great. That's really going to help him out while you trade Deontay Johnson.
How did that happen?
It's just the salary cap. That's all it is.
What do you mean?
When you're that bad, you don't have superstars. So the NFL goes next year, goes, you're $60 million below. You have to spend money on somebody. Remember Montez Sweat
went
to the Chicago Bears? And like, why did you pay him that much money?
Yeah.
They had a low payroll. You had to pay people.
My only wonder, I guess, is did it have to be done now? Like Jonathan Brooks, the week he gets like activated is the week you pay Hubbard. Like when you spent a high, a relatively speaking, high draft choice on a running back in Jonathan Brooks out of Texas, if you're Carolina.
Yes, yeah, it's just money.
They just
you identify somebody who you think is going to be in the future for you, and you pay them if they're a good player. There's not many good players on Carolina that you're paying, and you have to have a minimum floor. It's not like baseball. Hey, let's just go bargain basement. One team has $10 million, one has $250.
Speaking of the running back position, I'll throw this at you. Apparently Kyle Shanahan recently has actually confirmed that McCaffrey's going to play this weekend.
Yeah.
What would your expectations be for his props going into the game against Tampa Bay? Minus 175 to score, like straight back at it?
Yeah.
It has to be, right?
Yes, because what Kyle Shanahan, when your guys get back into the game, like you want them to feel like they're back.
Yeah.
There is no way, Kevin, like they're on the goal line and he's not like, you know what? Play action pass, we got him here.
Well, probably, the play action pass.
But see, it's so like, Shanahan's the type of guy 2 years ago, it's like, you know what, 50-50 backfield with guys you never heard of and Christian McCaffrey, and then completely went 99.9% backfield McCaffrey. I mean, I joke about Kevin. There were games where he hobbled off the field on first down and came right back in for third down, up 14,
no,
up 14 points. What do you got?
I think they're out already.
Yeah.
So I said 175, thinking like, he's minus 270 to score.
Oh, come on now,
Derrick Henry's minus 270 tonight. He's scoring.
Now, who's he playing?
Tampa Bay.
Exactly. It's a horrible team. Yes. Nah, you know what? Minus 350 now. Yeah, minus 350.
The Kareem Hunt was never in doubt.
Man, oh, man. Cash that ticket.
You
man.
See, all of a sudden now you're going to become unwelcome.
Look at that. You know what? Where's this game at? Let me build every parlay through this game.
We're going to kind of fly around with a little bit of college football mixed in here. It's Game Time Decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Game Time Decisions, a.k.a. a little bit of give and take, if you will, here. It's me and Donnie Rideside. So Donnie and I have talked about the college football committee's unveiling rankings for a few years now, and I've always saw Donnie's side of it. I've had a disagreement, but not for, I think, the reason that others do. So let's just see if we can kind of meet in the middle. And I'll start with my end of it, and then, Donnie, I will go to what is ultimately your side and where I think you were proven more correct than ever before. My issue with the rankings that came out on this past Tuesday is that now all of the future rankings will be beholden to what we were just given.
Yeah.
In my opinion, right, and this will not be a popular one, I think Alabama should be ranked in front of Penn State personally.
Yeah.
Because we've learned more about Alabama's record. At the time that they lost to Vanderbilt, it was the biggest disgrace in program's history.
Yeah.
Vanderbilt is just a good football team. Mm-hmm. Vanderbilt lost by 3 to Texas. Vanderbilt has good wins this season beyond just their victory against Alabama. Alabama has a win over Georgia. Nobody in their right mind thinks Penn State could beat that type of team. Those are the type of things that you can change. Indiana being ranked behind Penn State. BYU being ranked behind Penn State. It sets a bar. So that is my problem, Donnie, with this, with the football college-wise, not copying the basketball model of we will tell you when it's done.
Yes.
We do not need to give you a weekly check-in.
Yes. It's just built for TV to squeeze in, to get people talking about the sport, and for ESPN to make some money. I've always been this way. And I don't even mind it this year with 12, because I actually think they're seeding correctly. And I'll replay that in a second. But before, it was, watch this. First week, we got 5 weeks of these shows. Let's throw out a bogus top four and get people angry right off the bat.
Yeah.
And then as you finalize, she goes, okay, that's coming in line. Then let's throw a little wrinkle. We'll move one team from 2 to 3 and get everybody upset. And then the final one comes down like, yep, exactly. It makes sense. That's where everybody should have been at this point. Now, the rankings 1 through 12, I actually think now they're more taking this seriously than they did the 1 through 4, because you don't just see, well, why is Miami 4th? They should be 2nd. They're in a major Power 5. They haven't lost. In the past, Kevin, they probably would have put them 2nd. But now you can actually effectively rank them 1 through 12 based on who you think is actually better, not just the record.
So,
and I love it.
And again, it is better. But I think, Donnie, one of the reasons why you were right, that at the end,
right? Ooh, this will figure itself out. There's only four teams.
Yes.
It's very hard to mess that up. We saw last year, they, for the first time ever, or the first time since the first one, they had a decision to make, and everybody, well, you and I were happy. Everybody else perfect was furious. I mean, they did completely nail the decision, but that is besides the point right now. Like, the thing is, and this is why I think this stuff is matter, and it's why expansion was good. Like, Penn State, Donnie, gets a home game where Indiana, for example, has to go to wherever they have to go, and all that stuff makes is a big issue. But where I say I will, you know, meet you in the middle, what Donnie just said is supposed to be something that Donnie says.
Yeah.
Not on the desk of the unveiling show by the major network, who had their main host and three panelists. And not to harp on it's not about their show, it's about the process and why, again, I don't think we should be doing this on a week-to-week basis. Two of them were doing what I do, Ben, Lisi, getting furious, right, about this is inconsistent and this doesn't make much sense. And then their third guy was going, guys, this doesn't matter at all.
Yes, correct.
This doesn't matter. This will play out. And again, I tweeted at the time, I go, the only takeaway from this show is Donnie wins. But for Donnie, it does matter. It does, because now Indiana is not going to ever be in front of Penn State unless they beat Ohio State. That is not a, that is not supposed to be, Notre Dame can't jump Penn State if Penn State wins out.
Yeah.
That isn't supposed to be the process.
So, but it, again, it will play out, and we get so angry at something. It'd be the same thing if we're doing like playoff seeding in the NBA with a month and a half to go. The new revealing show, like, wait a minute, the Lakers are the 7 seed, like, and then 2 weeks they're the 2 seed already.
It is one of those things that is going to bother me until they fix it.
Yeah.
And I'm almost hoping that last night was a step in the right direction where 50% of their panel was like, why are you guys taking this so serious?
Yeah.
Like, this really does not matter. And one, I was going to say one final victory lap. That's not true. You and I are going to be doing this for years. I mean, expansion. Are you kidding me? I mean, so much better. You had a great take today about Bama and LSU and how much more important
it is. Exactly, yeah. You have Alabama and LSU. Fun rivalry. Both teams, 2 losses. Last year, 2 years, 5 years ago, no SEC championship game. Fired probably both of their head coaches by the game. Tickets would be $1.50 to sit up top. And now you have a barn burner with absolutely monster ratings that LSU fans are climbing the gates right now just to get to their seats and watch it play out.
It is going
But who needs expansion?
It is going to be fantastic to all watch play out. Later tonight, Donnie and I will be joined by Joe Lisi to go through an awesome, awesome Thursday nighter. Your full pregame show with Casey Hudson and the crew begins now on SportsGrid.